to the Romans.
Thank you.
Amen. And today we continue in the 11th chapter. We have worked our way through the entire epistle up to this point. Amen. And we have come to the 11th chapter. And so I think we were able to print our lessons from online. If you do not have a copy and would like one, I think we have distributed a few there. There is an extra one here if anyone needs it. Amen. We're going to have a look today in chapter number 11, verses 7 to 13 from the Epistle to the Romans for our principal text. And we will support that text with a reading from the Old Testament, which is found in Psalms number 69, the 69th of the 150 Psalms, starting at verse 18. And we're going to have a reading of the Old Testament scripture, which will be Psalms 69, verses 18 to 36, which will be followed by a reading of the New Testament, which will be found in Romans, as we have said, chapter 11, verses 7 to 13. So we're going to ask for someone to stand at this time and read, and we may all stand for the reading of the Holy Word of God.
Amen. You want to read the 69?
Okay, Minister Darrell Brown is going to read for us from Psalm 69 and 18 through 36. And who will read for us the New Testament scripture reading? Brother Adams. Dr. Adams will read from Romans 11, 7 to 13. Amen.
Psalm 69. Oh, draw near to my soul and redeem it. Ransom me because of my enemies. You know my reproach and my shame and my dishonor.
Yes.
All my adversaries are before you. Reproach has broken my heart, and I am so sick. Mm. And I looked for sympathy,
yes,
but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. May their table before them become a snare.
Yes.
And when they are in peace, may it become a trap. May their eyes grow dim so that they cannot see, and make their loins shake continually. Pour out your indignation on them,
my Lord,
and may your burning anger overtake them. May their camp be desolate. Mm. May none dwell in their tents, for they have persecuted him whom you yourself have smitten, and they tell of the pain of those whom you have wounded.
Yes.
Add iniquity to their iniquity, and may they not come into your righteousness. May they be blotted out of the book of life, and may they not be recorded with the righteous. Mm-hmm. But I am afflicted and in pain. May your salvation, O God, set me securely on high. I will praise the name of God with song and magnify him with thanksgiving. And it will please the Lord better than an ox or a young bull with horns and hoofs. The humble have seen it and are glad. You who seek God, let your heart revive.
Oh yes.
For the Lord hears the needy and does not despise his who are prisoners. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. For God will save Zion and build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and possess it. The descendants of his servants will inherit it, and those who love his name will dwell in it.
Amen. 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 That is the reading of the Old Testament scripture. Amen. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his blessed word. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Now for the New Testament, Dr. Adams will lead us in the reading.
What then? What Israel received it has not obtained, but those who were chosen obtained it, and the rest were hardened. Just as it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes to not see not, and ears to hear not, down to this very day. And David said, let that table become a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a retribution to thee. Let thy eyes be darkened to see not, and bend that back forever. I say then, they did not stumble so as to fall, did they? May it never be. But by their transgression, salvation hath come to the Gentiles to make them jealous. Now, if their transgression is riches for the world, and their failure is riches for the Gentiles, how much more would their fulfillment be? But I am speaking to you who are Gentiles, inasmuch then as I am an apostle of Gentiles. I magnify my ministry.
Amen. 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 We have heard the blessed reading of the Word of God, the blessed Word. May God add a blessing to the reading, the hearing of His Word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And let us have an opening word of prayer. Eternal God, we bless you this evening. Father, we thank you this morning, oh God. This is evening somewhere, but not here. But we thank you this morning, Lord, and this afternoon that you let us be here where we are, Father. And we just praise you, Father, even for the beauty of the fact that there's different times everywhere around your globe, oh God. And the fact that you control all that, Father, we never have to worry about it. The sun comes up, oh God, right when you have scheduled. And it goes down at the time that you say. Oh God, and we just thank you for being in control of those things that we don't even have an idea how all that works, oh God. But Father, you are the magnificent creator of all that, God. And even more, you have made us, oh God, created us in your own image. You formed us in our mother's womb and brought us forth, God. You were with us, oh God, when the selection was being made that we might be the one of millions who went forth. At the time when we were being conceived, Lord, and you pressed us to the front of the line that we might come in and be born. And so, Father, we've been running to run this race ever since, God. And we're still on a path right now, God, that cannot be turned around. And so, Father, we thank you. We ask this morning for special wisdom, God, that you would reveal something, oh God, in our hearts today, God, about who we are, why you chose us, why you sent us forth. Could have been thousands of others, but you chose us. You allowed us to come through that we might run this race. Now, Father, help us this morning to get some kind of a sense out of the reason why you made us, God. And the reason why we're here at this particular time in history. The reason why we have come here to St. Timothy this morning. And the reason why when we go out, God, you have something for each person to do. You have a direction that you have set from the beginning of time that we should all take. And so, God, we ask this morning, under the anointing of your Holy Spirit, reveal that to us, God. Help us understand where we are in time, God. Help us to understand where the church is right now in prophetic history, God, so that we might be prepared to take up our cross and follow you every day. We bless you now. We give you praise. We ask you to bless and anoint every ear, oh God, every mind, every heart that is under the sound of my voice. Bless this message, oh God, as it goes out into the world. Let it produce fruit to the praise of your glory, that you might be exalted in everything. We ask it in the matchless name of your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray, and all the saints said together, amen, amen, amen. What a blessing, what a privilege it is, amen, to be called at this particular moment in time for such a time as this, amen. We can relate to what Esther said, that it was for this particular reason, at this particular time, at such a time as this, we might come on the scene. Amen. So we thank God for your presence here today. Those of you who've been with us, you know we've been working our way through this letter to the Romans, which is one of the most critical writings of the New Testament. It makes a statement about so many things that the church needs to be aware of, not only at that time, because it was crucial at that time when the covenant people that God had called and given reasons why they were called, had blessed them and told them about the prophetic future that they had, that they would be the ones by whom all the families of the earth would be blessed. That the reason that when Paul was writing this letter, he was trying to explain why that particular set of people, the ones who had been called from Abraham, who came out of a person who didn't have any seed, that God had promised, I'll bless bless your seed. Yeah. Even before he had any seed,
that's right.
God blessed his seed.
Yeah.
Told him, out of your seed, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed.
Yes.
You know, and when Abraham heard it, it seemed impossible to him. But why would those people that God did bring forth, exactly like he promised, he multiplied the seedless man, if you will, into multiplied millions of people.
Yeah.
He kept his word all down through that 42 generations.
Right.
And then he sent his son, who was exactly the one that he was speaking of,
right,
when he talked to Abraham in the first place.
Amen.
When he
Amen.
First mentioned the seed, he was talking about Jesus.
Yes.
Abraham said, well, you know, I don't even have a seed. He was thinking about him. And he went through all that process in his life, but God was talking about Jesus.
Yes, he was.
The Apostle Paul, who writes this letter, learned that Jesus was the one.
Yes.
Prior to this, we've already discussed, he didn't believe that Jesus was the one either. And so it's very important. He understands the dynamic of the problem, why the apostle here who did not believe in Jesus now does believe.
Yes.
But why don't the rest of the covenant people believe?
Mm-hmm.
Why did they reject him?
Yes.
Was it a surprise to God? These are the kind of questions a person would ask.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't the people who were worshiping God right all that time? They were the only ones who were properly worshiping God throughout those generations from Abraham, because everybody else was doing their own thing, calling other stuff God that was not God. They were worshiping the creation and not the creator.
That's right.
They were involved in all kinds of pagan worship, if you will, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
But the Jews were getting specific revelation from God about what it was that would satisfy God.
Amen.
And so now, all of a sudden, Messiah comes. He is misunderstood.
Yes.
And then he is found guilty,
yeah,
and by a collusion of the Jews, the Gentiles, and the Roman government.
Yes.
He is found guilty,
yeah,
crucified on a cross.
That's
most
right.
Scandalous way you could ever be
right.
put to death.
Yeah.
It was a hideous thing, a torturous thing.
Yes.
You know, we think capital punishment today, they want to sue because somebody didn't get the right thing done in a capital punishment because the medicines didn't work or something or another. You see that in the news. But think of how people did it this time. The Roman government, they march you out, have you carry your own cross,
right,
march it up a hill, nail you to it, strip off your clothes, lift you up high.
Yeah.
The very shame of the whole thing was scandalous.
Yes, it was.
Just
yes, it
by
was.
Itself, the fact that they would rip you naked, you can't even cover yourself. You're nailed, and you can't even, your natural inclination would be do like Adam did, run, get something to cover yourself.
Yes.
But you can't do it. You're just stripped and hanged high,
mm-hmm,
before the public. That's why Hebrews, just to move into that a little in chapter 12, says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him,
yes,
endured the cross, despising the shame.
Yes.
It was a scandalous, shameful thing to be marched up to Calvary in a high place in town up on the hill called Golgotha and crucified and hanged up high. And so this scandalous form of capital punishment was rendered by the government in collusion with the Jews, who were saying crucify him, while they let a well-known murderer go free. And it's like, how can this happen to the Son of God? The Apostle Paul he was probably cheering down there when he heard about the cross. Got rid of him. And now he's turned around because God has had a personal confrontation,
right,
with him on the Damascus Road.
All right.
Turned him around, showed him that I am Jesus, that one you're going to persecute.
Yes.
Remember that in Acts chapter 9? He says, why persecutest thou me, Saul?
Right.
So Saul is now grappling in his own mind with how could the covenant people be so blind as not to see,
yes,
that this was the Messiah? And so he's dealing with that whole thing here as he writes this letter to the Romans. And it's good for you and me to know this, to understand that even though all that happened, nothing went on. It was not the direct result of what God had prophesied.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
You and I need to understand life,
amen,
is not always a bowl of cherries.
Right. Amen.
And even if there is cherries in life, there will be the pits. There's going to be some pits in the chair,
yeah,
if you happen to get a bowl of cherries. Amen. A rose is beautiful, but there are the thorns on that rose. And you do have to be careful. So life is a mixture of things. But God is in control of all the things. That's the thing I want you to know. So the method of God and his design of the plan of our salvation was to establish from the stream of the Gentiles a people for his own possession. That's what happens when you see him calling Abraham out, which is the Abrahamic covenant.
Yes.
He says here, which he came to be known as the Jews or the covenant people.
Now, I want you to listen, because we're going to talk about what Paul and how he explains how God and the rest of the Gentiles come to take a part in the marvelous provision of foreign righteousness in this message. Now, how was Abraham saved? He was saved the same way anyone is saved, even today.
Yeah.
Salvation has never been by works.
That's right. Yeah.
Salvation has always been by grace.
Amen.
Because when God called Abraham, it was not because you're the most wonderful person in Ur of the Chaldees,
right,
so I think I'll pick you. Because no, nothing like that.
That's right.
He was practicing the same idolatry that his fathers had been practicing,
right,
ever since the dividing of the Gentiles in Genesis, in the book of Genesis chapter 10 and following. And then God came into that stream of humanity,
yes,
came to a person called Abram, told him, get thee out of your country,
yes,
and away from your kindred, out of your father's house, come into a land that I will show you,
yes,
and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing.
Yes.
I will bless him that blesses you, curse him that curses you, and in your seed all the families of the earth, yes, shall be blessed.
Amen.
So God began by selecting Abraham out of the stream of the Gentiles and made a deal with him that we would call a covenant.
Yes.
We call it, now we like that, let's make a deal. I mentioned this in Sunday school this morning. You pack all kinds of people with, let's make a deal and come on down, you know, and the people want to come down and make a deal. And so God says, I got a deal for you that has nothing to do with anything going on in the earth. This is something that I'm doing from eternity, and I want to make a deal with you, Abraham. And so this message, I want to give it a title here, Cutting a Deal, Cutting You In on the Deal. God wants to cut you in on the deal that he made with Abraham. Amen. You know, we always talk about getting our cut. Give me my piece of the pie. Cut me my slice. Well, God wants to cut you in on the deal so you understand what's going on. Keep this in mind. All the covenants that are in the Bible were all made to Israel.
Amen.
The covenant people. We studied this morning in Sunday school about the new covenant, which is pronounced in Jeremiah 31:31. That God says, there's a new day is coming, and I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. Not like the covenant I made with their fathers when I took them by the hand to lead them from the land of Egypt. But this is a new covenant. He said, they broke that covenant anyway. They never kept it in the first place. But this is a new covenant that's going to be, of course, what we call the covenant of the blood of Jesus Christ,
yes,
his son. It's the fulfillment of all the previous covenants that had been given.
Amen.
When Jesus came, he said, I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it.
Amen.
See?
Amen.
So he came to fulfill everything that was broken by all the people in all of time in all those covenants. No one ever kept their end of the deal. The only one who keeps the deal is God.
Amen.
And when he made these covenants with Israel, basically he had in mind, he started off, there was no Israel.
Mm-hmm.
It started with one man who had no seed.
Right.
He was called out of the Gentiles.
Yes.
God says, separate yourself and I'm going to do something with you to bless the whole world.
Amen.
All the people in the world. So it was a covenant to Gentiles in that sense, but we could say Abraham is the father of the Jews.
Yes.
And it would be in three generations through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that God would multiply that seed into 12 tribes. And one of those tribes, the tribe of Judah, which was announced by Jacob upon his deathbed, leaning up on his staff in Genesis 49 verse 10, he said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, neither a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes, which is the covenant that he would come out of the seed of Judah. That's why Jesus is known as the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
Amen.
Jacob had prophesied that, leaning on his staff upon his deathbed,
yes,
as he blessed the sons of Israel. And so primarily that blessing that came from him was to bless the son who would come out of the tribe of Judah when the fullness of time was come, as Paul told the Galatians in chapter 4 verse 4. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son,
yes,
made of a woman, born under the law to deliver us from the curse of the law.
Amen.
The law itself is a curse to me and you because we can't keep it. If we can keep the law entirely, God will accept you. I told a guy this at work the other day. Well, you mean to tell me God won't hear me unless he won't just let me talk to him directly? I said, no, he will not. He cannot hear you unless you come through his son. You know, and you can talk with him. It's not that he's hard of hearing or that he can't hear. It's that God has established in the earth, I have one way that you can come to me. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, there's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ. And I told him, he said, well, why would God do that? I said, well, meditate on that, brother. Just meditate on that. Because if you don't get that part, I can't talk with you about much else. You got to understand that Christ Christ is the mediator between God and men. It's like that because God said something.
Amen.
That's the best I can tell you. I don't understand, you know, all of that, and I'm not going to try to explain beyond what God said. Sometimes you just have to tell people what God said and leave it alone. Because if they don't get it, you know, the Holy Spirit is going to have to quicken them, make them alive where they understand it. I know he's thinking about it because I canceled for him every other possibility. I said, you know what? If it's not true, Jesus is a liar. Did you know that? Well, what you mean he's a liar? I said, well, just meditate on it. And I leave it alone. If I can't get you past there, we won't be able to help you. And it's the Holy Spirit who makes you alive. I can't do it. You know what? If I had a magic wand, I'd go around and zap everybody. Just, you're going to believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. I'd be anointing my head off. But I can't do it. You know what? And God doesn't want it that way. He said to the church, when he had risen from the dead, he said, all power is given to me. In Matthew 28:18. In heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore into all the world and teach all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son. You know what? He supposes that in the teaching of the gospel, they will believe. And the ones who believe, you take them and baptize them. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Then he said, teaching them again. To observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you.
Amen.
Then he said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. See, so he said, I'm going to go with you as you go and teach. Like, well, we're going to be, we do it all the time. Well, next week we're going to take special time on Saturday morning. We're going and teaching.
Yes.
You know, go to each person, teach them. And if they don't receive it, Jesus said, he didn't say like somebody said, cut their heads off and they're a bunch of infidels if they don't believe. He said, shake the dust off your feet.
That's right.
As a testimony against them. You know, think about that. Because if I come to you, let's think through that scenario. It's a little evil, but let's think through it. If I come to an infidel and he doesn't believe, I tell him what God said, and he doesn't believe, and I cut his head off, what did I do? I sent him to hell, didn't I? See, think about it. If I come to you and tell you about Christ and you don't believe and I shake the dust, the Bible says one plants and another waters, but what? God gives the increase. See there? So I'm not going to try to cut you off. That's not my job. My job is plant a seed or water a seed. And that's all we're ever doing anytime we share the gospel. You're either planting a seed or you're watering the seed. You know, and that's it. You're either planting or you're watering. Paul said that one plants, another waters, God gives the increase. So we don't go judgment. We're not in the judgment. We're into preaching the truth. God is into mercy. If God didn't judge you, I'm not going to judge you. That wouldn't be right. Something wrong with that. I heard one, I read on CNN, it says that they told us somebody who was professing a Christian to denounce Christianity. As soon as he did, they chopped his head off. Now, where did he go? Think through that scenario.
Wow.
And we're seeing these kind of things in the news.
Yes, we are.
So you and I need to be aware. At this time, this was a great mystery in the minds of the Jews. How could God send his son and we found him guilty, lifted him up on a cross, disgraced him publicly, crucified him.
Yes.
We spit on him.
Mm-hmm.
We mocked him.
Yes.
We ripped out his beard. We flogged him, had him flogged and beaten mercilessly. It was the worst child abuse that has ever been seen. And this was not any old child. This was the Son of God.
Amen.
Yes, it was.
The Son of God.
My Lord.
In the public.
Yes.
We scandalized him. There was nothing, no way he could cover himself. Made his mother stay back.
Amen.
While we abused our son.
Mm-hmm.
Right in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
See, ugly situation.
Yes.
So it needs an explanation. So Paul says, now look, I just want you to understand all these things have been spoken of in the Old Testament.
Oh, yes.
So here in Romans 11, when you see how he gets into this verse 7, he says, what then? What Israel is seeking, it has not obtained. But those who were chosen obtained it, and the rest were hardened. See, so that shows you, even in that, we see Israel was seeking something that it has not attained. But those who were chosen, that's the phrase I want you to take out of that, verse 7. Those who were chosen, there are some who were still in Israel who believed.
Yeah.
Do you know the early church was founded with a nucleus of Jewish believers?
Yeah.
That there was a remnant of them who believed.
Amen.
Not the majority of them. The majority of them hated Christ. The majority of them turned their back on the Messiah. The majority of them were shouting, crucify him! Crucify him! And there was another group over somewhere praying, God, what are we doing?
Yeah.
There was a group, a remnant who believed. Even when Jesus was born, remember there was Simeon who was up in the temple when he was praying that he might see the Lord's Christ before he tasted death. And God allowed Mary and Joseph to bring the baby Jesus into the temple while he was yet alive. And he prophesied and said, I can go in peace now, Lord, because my eyes have seen your Messiah. So there was a remnant of believers even in that group of Jews, even though the majority of them did not believe. Okay, and then there was Anna, the prophetess. She was there. She was a widow who prayed day and night and tended to the temple. She was waiting on the consolation of Israel. So there was a remnant of believers who were there. Joseph and Mary were of families who trusted and believed God. Zacharias and Elizabeth were a part of the remnant who believed God. We could go on through looking at the Jews in the New Testament who sided with Jesus and supported him, but they were outnumbered by the ones who did not believe. And so even Paul had hated Jesus while he was a Pharisee. He says in Philippians chapter 3, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law found blameless. He was walking in all the minutia of Judaism, if you will. And he was a Pharisee, had risen to one of the highest offices within Israel in Judaism. And yet he was lost as he could be.
Yes, he was.
Hated the Messiah.
Yes, he did.
Couldn't see it. You know, didn't want to see it, actually.
Amen.
Until God confronted him and turned him around.
Yes, he did.
When he confronted him, he was on the Damascus Road on his way to persecute the church with letters from the high priest, with the authority of the Roman government. Yes. I'm going to get rid of that cult and wipe it out.
Yeah.
And so he went, and then God, the Bible tells us that a bright light came around him while he was on the road to Damascus, was brighter than the noonday sun.
Amen.
You can imagine that. We don't really know how bright the sun is. Wait till you get in the desert sometime, there's no water for miles. No trees, nothing, just barren desert. And it's hot as a firecracker. And the sun is out, it's so hot that we wonder why they wear all those turbans and hoods. That's to keep that sun off of you.
Yes.
But when Jesus showed up, he was brighter than the noonday sun.
Amen.
Imagine the glory of the brightness of Christ showing up to Paul as he was on that Damascus road. It was so bright, knocked him down off of his beast, and he fell to the earth. And he just had enough breath to raise up and say, who art thou, Lord? And Jesus said, this is Jesus of Nazareth, Saul. Why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. And he said, well, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now he understands that he is God. And basically, he told him to go on down where you're going on to Damascus, down to a street called Straight, and somebody there will tell you what you ought to do. And so he gets there, and we know about his conversion. We read about that in the book of Acts, chapter several times there. Paul gives his testimony in the book of Acts. And so basically he was converted there on the Damascus road. He received a physical blindness when he saw the bright light. He couldn't see out of his natural eyes. He was already blinded spiritually. And so while he was in blindness for 3 days, I think that's what may have prompted him to write this in this epistle. He's talking about the blindness of the covenant people, how they could fail to see the Messiah. He understood it firsthand because he himself had been one of them. So he asked, what Israel is seeking, it has not obtained, but those who were chosen obtained it. God selected a remnant even out of unbelieving Israel to continue to believe them, and the rest were hardened.
Yes.
Now we read that, we go, what? The rest were hardened. Some of them got chose. They were selected. They were elected by God to believe and have faith, and they got saved. But the rest were hardened. Now when we read about that, we try to bring some human judgment into it and say, well, why would God harden those other people? And we want to question the character of God.
Yes.
But you know, you read about Pharaoh in the Old Testament. Exodus, God gave him 10 chances to get right. And every time Moses showed a sign from God, Pharaoh said, I don't believe that. And he hardened his heart. And the Bible says he hardened his heart. And he says again, he showed him another sign. And he hardened his heart. He showed him another sign. He hardened his heart. Eventually, it gets to a place where the Bible starts to say, Moses showed him another sign, and God hardened his heart.
Amen.
He said, wow,
Amen.
He switched over. You know, so many times he had been given a chance to receive what God was putting down, the message of truth.
Yes.
And he hardened his heart. He kept on doing it to the point that God says he's not going to ever get right.
That's it.
And so God began to harden him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what happens when you continually reject the truth from God? You're in a dangerous area. If you continue to deny God's son, as many times as you have heard that there's one way to be saved, God will harden you. There's going to be a whole group of people on the earth in the last day. And what, time's going to run out eventually. We don't like to hear about this. We don't even want to talk about, don't talk about time or anything. But it's going to run out.
Yes, it will.
And on that last day, Jesus said, so shall it be as it was in the days of Noah, just as it will be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Noah had preached for 120 years with a hammer and nails, building something God told him to build, and it never rained.
Amen.
He had been mocked. He had been scorned. He had been ridiculed, talked about. People said, look at that crazy fool and his family up there building that thing in the desert. What's wrong with him? They talked about him like a dog. We don't have that record in the word, but the Bible says he was mocked.
Yes, he was.
He was a man that was different than the rest of his generation. Why? Because he got special revelation from God and he moved on it. He wouldn't start doing what God said, even though it looked ridiculous. Look crazy. What do you mean you're building an ark? They looking at you, got to be kidding me. What rain? What is rain? They had never seen rain. Okay, well, Noah said, God told me to do it, and I'm doing it.
That's it.
So sometimes God gives you something to do. People around you may not understand what you're doing. They may not know what you're doing. Why are you doing that?
Amen.
And what's up with all that? Well, they don't understand. Like the guy at work, he couldn't understand. Why would you tell me that? You know, the fact is, God has established a way in which he will save you. He wants to save you, but you have to do it his way.
His way. That's right.
You can't do it your way.
Amen.
It's got to be his way. We talked about that this morning. So Saul saw himself in the paradigm of Israel being all into religiosity, if you will.
Yes.
They thought they could present themselves to God on the basis of their good deeds, on the basis of their good works.
Yes.
God will look at my track record and see that I've done more good than I've done bad. People tell you that today in a minute. Well, I don't do so much bad stuff. Why would God judge me? And I always ask them, have you done one thing wrong? Just one. All you need is one. And I told this same guy who I was talking with at work, I said, you know what? God will save you if you can do everything perfectly. Yes, you're right. Have you been perfect from the womb to the tomb? He said, what? From the womb to the tomb? Have you ever done everything right all the time, every day of your life? You can go before God and says, I have never sinned. You can do that? I said, if you can, he'll accept you. You know, but you know what? You can't really say that.
No way.
If you're in a body of flesh, you will never be able to say, I did everything perfectly right. If you do, you just lied. The Bible says, if you say you have no sin, you lie and the truth is not in you. You see what I'm saying? So the fact is, no matter who you are, you need the blood of Jesus just as much as I do. You know, and I think about myself, I say, man, I need it even more. Because I can't just say there was one white lie I told one day and that's it. Can you do that? But you know what? If you got one so-called white lie, you're destined for hell. The only one can save you from it is Jesus Christ. He is the only one that came into the world, did not, no deceit was in his mouth. He did not fail the Father at all. From the womb to the tomb. And he went from the womb to the tomb by way of the cross. He stopped off in Jerusalem one day. And he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. He was chastised for our peace. That by his stripes we might be healed. He allowed them to crucify him and lift him up high. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come unto the Father but by me. And so he proclaimed that, and then he went to the cross until God had forsaken him. And he hung there and bled and died on the cross, fulfilling everything the law and the prophets had said, including this, which is written here by the psalmist in Psalm 69. David, looking forward and foreshadowing the coming of Jesus Christ, he says, oh, draw near to my soul and redeem it. Ransom me because of my enemies. You know my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. All at my adversaries are before you. Reproach has broken my heart. I am so sick. And I looked for sympathy, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. You know, vinegar would just burn. Think about some vinegar getting on cuts and wounds and the crown of thorns and everywhere where you were wounded and cut. How would that feel? That would add misery to your pain. You see? So he says here, may their table before them become a snare. And when they are in peace, may it become a trap. See that? So God is going to deal out judgment, even though the people here crucified his son, so they did receive a measure of judgment from God. May their eyes grow dim so they cannot see, and their loins shake continually. Pour out your indignation on them, and may your burning anger overtake them. May their camp be desolate and none dwell in their tents. See that? For they have persecuted him whom you yourself have smitten.
Yes.
Look at that. And they tell of the pain of those whom you have wounded. See that? And so basically, add iniquity to their iniquity. This is a pronunciation and a prophecy of the judgment of those who rejected the Messiah.
Yes.
And may they not come into your righteousness. Look at that. May they be blotted out of the book of life, and may they not be recorded with the righteous.
Yes.
But I am afflicted and in pain. May your salvation, O God, set me securely on high.
Yes.
I will praise the name of the God with a song and magnify him with thanksgiving.
Yes.
And it will please the Lord better than an ox or a young bull with horns and hoofs.
Yes.
See, God is not satisfied with the blood of bulls and goats.
Right.
It took the blood of his son,
Jesus,
to satisfy his wrath against sinners like us.
Yes.
The humble have seen it and are glad.
Yes.
You who seek God, let your heart revive, for the Lord hears the needy and does not despise his who are prisoners.
Yes.
Let heaven and earth praise him, the sea and everything that moves dwell, it just says that moves in them, for God will save Zion and build the cities of Judah. Notice that?
Yes.
That they may dwell there and possess it. The descendants of his servants will inherit it, and those who love his name will dwell in it. It's prophesied in the Psalms. So we want, and Paul sees that. So he says here, as he writes in Romans 11, starting at verse 9, and David says, let their table become a snare and a trap.
Yes.
And let their, it says, and a stumbling block and a retribution to them.
Yes.
Let their eyes be darkened to see not, and back, bend their back forever. See that?
Mm-hmm.
I say then, now he was, when it comes to a summary, I say then, they did not stumble as so as to fall, did they?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer there is, may it never be. So in other words, not all of them were lost, but a great many of them were judged, and they went into the wrath and judgment of God because they rejected his son. He says, but that doesn't mean that they failed completely, does it? We could say, may it never be, but by their transgressions, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make them jealous. So God is doing this to provoke the covenant people to jealousy. The fact that the church has now been going on with all, basically the Gentiles are the ones who are worshiping God properly now. Those who are in the church.
That's right. Amen.
Not all the Gentiles. There's still only a remnant of believers.
Amen.
And that would be those who trust and believe in the name of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
So we want to be careful with that, because you know what? This is, and I'll conclude in a minute. Let's look at verse 12. Now, if their transgression is riches for the world, that means the transgression of the covenant people Israel has become riches for the world, and their failure is riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their fulfillment be?
Amen. Amen.
See, so God didn't completely forsake them, but he did judge the majority of them who were against his son at the time.
Yes.
And that's why current day believing Israel still does not see Christ. They don't recognize Christ right now in the land of Israel, but they're still there. Not all of them. There's always a remnant of believers,
yes,
that God preserves in every season.
Amen.
So there always will be. There's some Jews, yes, who believe now, but all the ones who are saved are known as the church. The church consists of believing Jews and Gentiles.
Yes.
Amen.
That are all together in one fold. That's why Jesus said, I have some sheep that are not of this fold that I must bring in.
Amen.
He mentioned in the book of John.
Amen.
You see, and now we have some other cults that want to try to grab that and say that's them. No, that's talking about all the Gentile believers,
yes,
who also believe along with the believing Jews.
Amen.
Who trust in the Messiah, God's son, who was,
amen,
crucified, buried, and risen according to the law and the prophets and the Psalms.
Yes.
Amen. So what I want you to see is, due to man's own evil internal proclivity, which we would call that original sin, even Israel, whom God has chosen by their own stubbornness And that Adamic tendency, in other words, that fallen nature continues to, they try to cover themselves and reject God's salvation by grace alone by their own good works.
Yeah.
The majority of the covenant people choose to reject their own Messiah. They chose to reject him and crucify him just as God had predicted.
Yes.
In the Old Testament. Well, if it wasn't predicted, we might be stumped by that. But the fact is, the prediction of it is very clear when we look in certain places in the Old Testament. His reasoning is in order to provoke the covenant people to jealousy. He told them that already in a number of places. We won't have time to take that up today. But God chose to allow the Gentiles to be cut in on the deal.
Yes.
You and I can be cut in on the deal.
Amen.
We're going to talk about that a little bit more.
Amen.
Even though he made the covenant with Israel, and he has caused Israel to be chastised under his judgment.
Yes.
Right now we're in a period of time known as the times of the Gentiles.
Right.
And the Bible says that this will continue until a certain point in history, and then God is going to go back to the covenant people. We'll be talking about that in successive lessons that come. So we hope you'll tune in right here, same time, same channel, next week. And on Wednesday night, if you want to dig more deeply into what we taught today,
yes,
come on in and study with us in Bible study. Amen.
Amen.
And so if you want to be cut in on the deal, I want to say right now we're going to clear the front row on this side. We want to make places to invite new people into our ministry. You can come any way at all. If you're already saved and looking for a church home, you may come at this time. If you are not saved and you want to come, you can come at this time. You can come saved or unsaved. If you'd just like to be a member of the St. Timothy MB Church, we invite you to express that by coming forward at this time. Come and have a seat right here on the front row, and we will get some information from you. Amen. And we will sign you up to be a part of our church. Amen. Come right now. Now is the acceptable time, and today is the day of salvation. If you need a church home, come right now and have a seat right here on the front row. Amen. We will receive you into the fellowship. Amen. You are, and I say, if you are not saved, I want to give a special appeal to you. Come while you can. Amen. Because the world is filled with potential tragedy, and you want to make sure you're in the covenant with the Lord. God can cut you in on the deal right now. Amen. So waste no time. Come right now. Amen. We are ready to receive you.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
Amen. Amen. We see that there is room, but yet there is none. We thank you for your attention. Amen. And we give the Lord praise for each of you. Amen. God would like to cut you in on the deal. Amen. There's a lot that goes with that. That means you get special revelation. You get to be filled with the Spirit of God.
Oh yes.
You get to have the knowledge of things to come. God says he would not leave his people without a comforter.
That's right.
Amen. He's going to take up residence in you to give you comfort even when you see stuff coming undone like we see in the world. Even when the world is on the shaking and rocking and reeling. Those of us who are grounded in Christ can have that certainty that God has loved us and he will take us through, even as we looked at the covenant people this morning. Amen. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. We thank you for your attention. Amen. Just to let you know, I want to reiterate the announcement before we dismiss that we have been invited to fellowship with the New Prospect MB Church. That's located at 1500 I Street. That's the letter I, capital I, as in I, myself, I Street. And that is in East St. Louis, Illinois.
Amen.
Amen. That will be at 3:30. And if you are able to attend, by all means, come on over and give us your support. And support New Prospect in their Usher's Annual Day. Amen. Having said that, if there are any comments, questions,
yes,
before we close.
Okay? We didn't announce this, but mm-hmm, next week is going to be our Sunday School Promotional Day.
Amen.
For next Sunday. So everyone that have been coming, to Sunday school, you need to be there. You need to be there. So next week. week is Sunday School Promotional Day.
And if you haven't, you'll really enjoy Sunday school because we really get to dig into the Word, and it's just a little less, perhaps less formal, and something you can grow a great deal by participating in. Amen. Amen. Having said that, if all minds are clear, let us stand. We want to welcome once again and thank our visitors for being here. You are always welcome in the house. Amen. I want to mention Brother Allen over there. He's a very excellent drummer that happens to be here visiting us today. We thank God for his coming in. Amen. And I think Brother Douglas said he has some
correction. I'm sorry. Correction. Mm-hmm. You can correct me. I can be corrected too.
Mm.
I'm sorry. Not next Sunday. It's the Sunday after.
Amen.
The 28th.
All right. But you can still come next week.
Sunday school.
Amen. Okay. Amen. Let us stand to receive the benediction. Amen. Lord God, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you, we exalt your name, Father.
Yes.
We thank you for your wisdom, God,
yes,
and doing what you did and making it plain, Father, that we can see that this is exactly what you promised.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Nothing different happened, or no surprises, Lord. But we pray you use us in a powerful way that we might reach out to this world, Lord, that is going through changes at this time.
Oh, yes.
Prepare us to have your word quick on our lips, oh God, that it would go forth as a rushing mighty wind.
Yes.
And that prepare the hearts of those who will receive. And bless even now at New Prospect that prepared their hearts to receive the word today, oh God.
Yes,
we bless you. We give you praise. Look over those that are still in grieving, the Davis family, the Browns, oh God, everyone who needs a special touch. Supply them with what they need, God, and let your justice roll as a rushing mighty stream, oh God. And we give you praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Bless us as we go down from this place, as we travel to our various destinations. Let the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are, Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We ask it all in the perfect, matchless name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Jesus.
To him be glory, majesty, dominion, and power now and forevermore. And all the saints say it together.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.